Today's reading comes from Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age."
Hey guys. Morning. Just hold the button on the bottom until it turns off. Got it? All right. Well, here I am. What Stephen doesn't know is I don't actually know how to shorten sermons. So whatever time we took earlier, just added on to the end. So just say this time it's not my fault. That's not what I'm going to claim. It's really exciting to be up here. I say it every time, and I just really mean it. Guys, this is such a privilege. What a gift it is by the Lord to just give the opportunity to teach the scriptures, and to be able to do that with all of you is such a gift. I'm so thankful for so many friends and for this family that he's given me. Today we're going to talk about Christ's passion for calling. We're going to do a couple weeks on this, and I'm really excited to be able to do this. I think it's really important for us to teach through this for a number of reasons. One of them is because I think this is probably, of our five passions, this is probably the most misunderstood one. It's the one that, because of the language that's used, both the language we use in calling, but also just the way that the world talks about calling, talks about destiny, those sorts of things, it can be very confused, and it can become really anti-gospel in a lot of ways if we're not careful. And so it's really a privilege for me to be able to be up here today to focus in on that and try and see what the Lord would have us understand in terms of our calling. Really what I want us to see today, and the goal of today, is that when we see or when we think about Christ's passion for calling, that we would actually understand that this is a part of the saving nature of Christ. That this is actually something that's given to us in salvation, and that he has something meant for us in this world. He has purpose for us in this world. That we're not here just to fill time, we're not here for no reason, but that he has actually called us to something in our daily life. We have something to step into. We have something to walk out. We have something to do in this world. We have that together, and we have that personally. So I'm going to talk a little bit about some misconceptions today, and I think that it's important to hit on the misconceptions, to identify where are these places that maybe we've been informed a little too much by the world, by our own flesh. And I've already kind of alluded to one, talking about our calling together and our calling personally. I'm going to hit that one a little bit later, but I also want to hit right at the beginning that our callings are meant to be lived out through the church. Now, that phrase needs to be held on to, and it's something that's where the misconception comes, is that we often believe that our callings are something that we do in the church, or that we need role or title or place in order to walk out our callings, when in reality what God calls us to is to walk out our callings through the church. And there's a difference, and it's an important one, because most people in this room will not walk out their callings inside the walls of the church. Most of us are called out there. And when I say most, I mean almost everyone. We all share callings out there, but our actual personal callings, the majority of us are going to be walking them out in our day-to-day life, out there in the world, just like Jesus did. That we have to follow in his footsteps. We have to understand that our calling are attached to, are unified with his mission on this earth. They can't be pulled apart. They can't be separated. And so we have to understand that we are misinformed if we think we're finally fulfilling our callings because we have a ministry in the church. That is not true. That is not reality in the kingdom. This morning also, we're going to look at, in a little bit deeper detail, this idea of corporate and personal. 1 Peter 2 teaches us that before we were saved, we were individuals. And then upon salvation, we became a people. How then are we supposed to understand our callings if we're no longer individuals? So I want to start, and before we get even to our text, I just want to say it so that it's clear, so that it isn't assumed wrongly, that the foundation for our calling is our identity. I would say another misconception in understanding destiny or calling or purpose or fulfillment is that it's somehow this separate piece from who we are. Or, just as dangerous, is that it is the fulfillment of who we are. And both aren't true. In salvation, we were given a gift of grace and we were welcomed into the family of God. We've been adopted. Praise God. Amen? All right. So I've been listening. You. I want to hear you today. There's people yelling randomly. I don't want to feel like, oh no, I must be missing it. Just yell for me, okay? Make me feel loved up here. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now I feel like I made you do that. That's not good. Not now, Sean. Come on. The foundation of our calling is our identity as sons and daughters. Our calling is not separate from the Christian identity, but it's also not the fullness of our Christian identity. We're not going to talk about this a lot today, but we have to remember that upon salvation, this gift of grace to be welcomed into the family of God is what all things are then built upon. God wanted you in His family, so He pulled out and He rescued you. He called your name. He reached out and He plucked you out of a fiery furnace and He pulled you into Himself and He says, now you're mine. And everything is built upon that. And if we don't get that in the proper order, we will never feel fulfilled in this life. We will never understand who we are if that isn't our foundation. Our calling then is meant to bring purpose to how we live this life on earth. It's an answer to the question of, God, why didn't you just take me upon salvation? You ever wonder why you're here, what you're doing here? Why didn't Jesus just swoop me up the moment He saved me? Because He has a purpose for you. He has a destiny for you. He has a call on your life that only you can fulfill. This is something that Jesus lived out in His life. He was our perfect example of this. And then in His resurrection, He actually declared it over the disciples. This is what we see in the Great Commission, our reading today. See, the Great Commission is about our calling as the people of God to make disciples. If we look at Jesus' life, we see that right at the very beginning of His ministry, He goes to two men on a boat and He calls out to them and He says, follow me. Right from the beginning, Jesus was about making disciples. Right from the beginning, He was about making followers. And in the Great Commission, when He has been raised from the dead and the authority of heaven and earth have been given to Him, before He ascends back into heaven, He says a few very important things for us. And one of them is this: go make disciples. Go. Why do I say you will not fulfill your calling in this place? Because Jesus doesn't say stay and fulfill your callings. Sit and fulfill your callings. Do nothing but focus on me and yourself and fulfill your callings. He doesn't say that. He says go. This is a part of the human design. It's a part of human nature to make disciples. We can see that literally in the creation of human beings. Guess what, parents? Every one of you in this room that is a parent, you are a disciple maker. Both literally in the physical and spiritually. I mean that. You didn't procreate just because it's fun. Sorry, I didn't realize how that came out. How did I miss that? Oh my gosh. Wow. I actually missed that until it was hanging there. Wow. So anyways. The Lord doesn't want me to take myself too serious today, I don't think. Jesus reveals to us that all people, all of his people, are called to be a part of his mission on the earth in making disciples. This is our corporate calling. This is a shared calling. We're responsible now for the outworking of this on the earth today. We're called to be witnesses in the world. Again, back to 1 Peter 2, he's teaching the church, and he uses this language when he talks about becoming the people of God. He says that you are to be a royal and holy priesthood. You're meant to be in the world, worshiping and on mission. This is your call. This is the first and main command when it comes to our callings. To make disciples. Acts 1, Jesus points his disciples once again in this direction. He tells them to wait on the Spirit. But for what purpose? So we've been doing this. We've been talking about this. We've been actually enacting this waiting on the Spirit the last few weeks. But for what purpose does he tell them this? To empower them to be witnesses in all the world. I believe with my whole heart that Jesus wants to minister to you in the deepest parts of who you are. Why? Because he wants you to be empowered to be witnesses in the world. This is a part of the gift of salvation. And I think we know this conceptually. We know this in our mind. But the question I need to ask us at this point, at this time, without going on to the personal side, because that's really easy, it's nice to focus on the personal, is do we act like salvation is the gift that the scriptures tell us it is? I'm going to say that again. Do we act like salvation is the gift that the scriptures tell us it is? Here's how you'll know about yourself. Don't look around the room. Look at yourself for a second. Where do you spend time? What do you spend your money on? What are your relationships built around? When you talk about destiny, dream, desire, does it include salvation? For the lost? Because this is the core of calling. This is the core of destiny. This is why you still live and breathe on the earth today. Have you ever wondered why you don't feel fulfilled? Ask yourself the question, do I pay attention to the lost? Do I treat salvation like it's the greatest gift that has ever come to mankind? Guys, hear that again. Salvation is the greatest gift that has ever come to mankind. It's the whole point. Are you living like it? Because it's the only place you're going to find your calling. It's the only place you're going to be able to walk out your fulfillment. If you don't have that, everything else will be like sand. You'll be grasping for it. You'll be looking for it. And it'll just slip through your fingers consistently over and over again. So if you hear this and you feel that, first off, you're normal. From the very beginning in the garden, humanity has wanted to focus on themselves rather than anyone else. This has been from the very beginning of the world. So you're normal. Secondly, that doesn't get you off the hook. You need to reformat, reorient your priorities to come in line with Christ's priorities for you. So Christ actually is calling to you in the same way he called to his disciples. He's actually saying over you today the same thing he said over his disciples in Acts 1. Await my spirit so that you may be empowered to go out. Await my spirit so that you may go and make disciples. We see it through the book of Acts over and over again. What happens when they come against something that feels like this is a blockade, I can't get through this, I don't think I can keep going? They had it physically in their lives. We experience this emotionally. Stephen was talking about it today. We experience this ongoing where something continues to block us from walking God's path for us. They had all of Rome telling them, we're actually going to kill you if you keep doing this, so you should probably stop. And they were like, oh my gosh, okay, I don't know if I want to do this anymore, Lord. What did they do? They went back to the beginning again. What did Jesus tell us to do? What would Jesus do, guys? I actually still love WWJD, by the way. I do. I don't wear the bracelet, but I love it because it's real. What would Jesus do? Well, what did he say? Await my spirit so that you could be empowered to go and make disciples. Are you waiting for the filling of the spirit in order to go out? Let me just ask you a question. You don't have to say it out loud. What do you do when you wake up in the morning before you go to work? Before you interact with the lost all day long, what do you do? Do you await the Spirit to empower you to go out and make disciples? Or do you wait till the last possible minute to roll out of your bed, groggy and grumpy, make yourself just enough time to make yourself a coffee and get to work? I'm saying that because I know that rhythm. My son has to get up early. And so guess what I do? I wait until I hear him before I literally roll out of bed and go, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm up again today. Hi, yeah, it's nice to see you. I am not present. What would God ask of us though? What would God call us to? How should we reformat, reorient, await my spirit to be empowered? What time is it? Am I like way past time already? I'm like half done. Sorry, children. But what happens here is that it is not the end of the call of God. In fact, we see it within Acts itself. The people devoted themselves to these things. So we saw it last week after the Spirit came at Pentecost and Christ commanded them to make disciples, and they made it their top priority. And the community immediately began to, excuse me, in Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. We looked at this last week. This is what it looked like for the early apostles, for the early church, to make disciples. They taught people the scriptures. They lived in community together. They gathered to seek God through prayer, and they received at the table together. Why did they do all of this? Why? Why did they sit up in that room for 10 days? Why? Because Christ called them to it. I'm convinced that if we are not following the call of God, it's because we've become distracted. We've allowed something else to take the forefront of our mind, and we no longer hear God say, go. We no longer hear God say, await my spirit so that you may go. We no longer hear God say, go, make disciples, be my witnesses. We have to hear his call afresh. So people were coming to faith, and there was all kinds of new things happening. I want to take a reading from Acts 6 very quickly to hear what was going on in the people of God when they devoted themselves to his commands. Acts 6, verse 1. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, that's what happened. Did you hear that? When the church waits upon the Spirit to be empowered in order to make disciples, what happens? There's more disciples coming. It goes on. It says, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the spirit of wisdom. Full of what? Capital S, Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit, whom we will appoint to this duty. Duty, that's a good one. Every time I read it, I go, let's pick a different word, because it makes me laugh. The 6-year-old version of Rob laughs at that every time. We'll appoint to his duty, sorry. Wow. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. And it goes on. Verse 6, it says, these they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of priests became obedient to the faith. So we have here a people that has devoted themselves to being disciples of Christ. And they've devoted themselves in that to being witnesses for him out in the world. Because so many people were coming in, devoting themselves to making disciples actually did what Jesus said it would do. Devote yourselves to making disciples, and guess what will happen? You'll make disciples. That shouldn't be mind-blowing, but I'm going to say it again. If you devote your life to making disciples, guess what will happen? You will make disciples. Are we seeing people get saved in our city? Some. Are we all seeing people getting saved in the city? Is it possible that we've lost our call as a church? That we've muddied the waters? Now watch the transition, though, that happens here is that we actually see what happens when the corporate takes their callings seriously. It makes a way for the personal to step into their calling. So all new types of people are coming in, and there's all of these issues happening in the church now. Imagine 3,000 people show up here today, all the issues we'd have to run into, all the issues we'd have to figure out all of a sudden. And guess who that's going to fall on? This guy. I mean that. Because all of you are still going to want to get pastored. That's not bad. You're not wrong for wanting that. But all of those people are also going to want to get pastored. And guess who you want pastoring from more than anyone else? The person who stands here. I'm not ragging on you. This is not a negative right now. But the apostles lived that, and immediately they said, we can't continue in our call. We have to hand this really important, necessary thing to a different group of people that are called to it so that we can continue our calling. Do you see what happened? The multiplying of the church made way for additional callings to be fulfilled personally. And these new seven had to step in, and they took care of the Hellenist widows. They made sure that everyone that needed something to eat had something to eat. This is of the utmost importance. But the apostles knew they were being pulled from their calling and couldn't do it any longer. So we see that the church start to move. It's just the first time. It happens over and over and over again in the New Testament. It's happened in the church ongoing. But we see this shift all of a sudden where there's this one group of leaders to now there's two groups of leaders. And how they did it is very interesting because all of a sudden we see the community chose them. And it was for the community. And the response was the same as our corporate calling, which was more disciples coming. If I sound like I'm repeating myself, I am. In Christ's passion for calling, we see that there is a corporate calling that we're meant to make our first priority on this earth. To go out and make disciples. In doing that, we're going to see people coming into the church. We're going to see people saying yes to Jesus. It doesn't mean everyone. It doesn't mean it'll be easy. It doesn't mean it's simple. It means that people will say yes. And as numbers are added to us, there will be new needs. And guess what that means? God's going to pick you out of the crowd, and he's going to say, now I need you to step up into your personal calling. You and you and you and you. Why does he do that? Why does he have this personal side to it? One is because we're persons. That was a joke, thanks. I appreciated that laugh. But because the church is modeled after the Trinity, where there are three persons, one God. There is one church made up of millions of persons, but we are not individuals. We are not separate from one another. These seven men could not have fulfilled their callings without the community. Because it was first the corporate calling that even made a way for them to fulfill their personal callings. But also it was the community that chose them. And then it was the community that needed them. We have a personal calling in this world in order to fulfill the call of the entire church. It is not for our own benefit, as we want so badly to think that it is. If you have asked the question, why not me? First off, again, let me just say it just to be clear, you're normal. But secondly, it's the wrong question. Sometimes people get to this spot where I'm standing right now because they've made their whole lives about themselves. Can I just say, I am so sorry to everyone in the church that has to be under a leader that's made their whole life about themselves. Because it's not God. God has called us to enact a service ministry for the sake of making disciples, so that more would be added to our number daily. So what do we do with this? How do we respond to this? I think that actually our service is going to lend itself really, really well to this, because the first thing we need to do is repent. We're all prone to thinking of ourselves first. We're all prone to get caught up in our own callings. We're all prone to getting caught up in our own lives, making me first priority, making me the most important. God is calling us to repent of that attitude, to let that be changed, and instead to step back and to see that the only fulfillment in this life, because it's our purpose, is to make it all about everyone else. So Brett and Christina, who are newly married, wonderful couple, and I know them a bit, and so I'm just going to put them on the spot, but when they got married, if they went into their marriage going, man, this is going to feel really good for me. Wow, this person really loves me. Wow, he or she makes me feel better about myself. If that was everything that went into them being married, this is going to be really hard. This is not true of them, so I can say it. But instead, when the Lord says, hey, I want you to give up your life for that person, and I'm going to ask them to give it up for you, but that's not your concern. I need you to give it up for them. But guess what? It's not just in marriage. We get to do that for one another. So, Toy, the Lord has asked me to give my whole life up for you. That's why I'm here. Why do I wear this thing? It's not because it's cool. I think it is, but I know that most people don't. But it's because he called me to it for the sake of you. It wasn't for me. It wasn't about me. If you know me or you know my family, you know that we don't like to be in front of people very much. We like the behind the scenes. Case in point, the moment I started talking about my family, my mom dropped her head, hoping no one would look at her. And now she's dropped it lower. I don't like this. You all staring at me while I do this. This is the least enjoyable thing for me. Because I'd rather be somewhere where no one can see me. I can just get my hands to work, get dirty, and do something really meaningful. That's how I think. And guess what the Lord said? He said, yeah, but Rob, are you going to listen to me? But God, everybody's going to think that all I want is the limelight. He's like, yeah, but are you going to listen to me? But God, are you going to listen to me? Because what I'm called to isn't about me. It's about you. And what I'm so thankful for is that's true of all of us. So anyone that's here today, and all those that aren't, you have been welcomed into the kingdom of God with open arms, and in that, in salvation, you were given a calling, a purpose to fulfill in this life, and it was for everyone else. So we're going to come to the table, and it's an opportunity for us to repent where we haven't done this well. And the blessing of the table is that we can be confident in the fact that we are being cleansed there. We'll be forgiven of this. If we humble ourselves and repent, we will be forgiven. But then from that place, God would ask us to remember his command again. And that is to wait upon his Spirit so that you would be empowered to go and make disciples. So we have an opportunity to wait upon the Spirit for an infilling of the Spirit, not for your benefit. It will be for your benefit, absolutely. But that's not the purpose. It is to go out and to make disciples. And then we end every service with the benediction. What's a benediction? It's a spiritual sending into the world. Why do we do it? Because we believe in this. Because this is one of our passions. This is one of the things we see Jesus most passionate about. And so we want to take part in it. We want to spiritually bless you to go. You've been cleansed. You've been released. You've been filled with the Spirit. Now go and make disciples. So we're going to head into the table.